It's the second day of high-level talks between China and the United States in our nation's capital. Yesterday, President Barack Obama welcomed 150 Chinese officials to Washington, D.C.
The relationship between the United States and China will shape the 21st century, which makes it as important as any bilateral relationship in the world. That really must underpin our partnership. That is the responsibility that together we bear.
As important as any bilateral relationship, the global economy, trade, and the environment will be among the topics discussed between these two global leaders. Paul Eckert is following the talks closely. He's Reuters Asia correspondent in Washington, D.C. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Paul, are we going to see anything more this week than just symbolic posturing between these two sometimes partners, sometimes rivals?
Well, in terms of concrete agreements to do this by a certain date, I doubt we will see anything more. But I do think that it will set the tone and that they will set a schedule for working group and technical level meetings across the range of the topics being discussed. And that should count as some movement forward, I would think.
Well, yesterday we heard the president publicly stress words like cooperation, dialogue, respect. What are the key objectives of the administration in these talks this week? Will they get down to brass tacks?
Not quite brass tacks negotiations. Several Chinese officials I spoke to after the first session yesterday said that there were very serious and frank discussions, but more exchanges of views. What the United States wants to do is assure China that its own economic house is being put in order. That includes U.S. debt. That includes getting U.S. growth back on track. That includes managing inflation, I'd say. From the Chinese, the Americans want a recognition that they can't just flood the world, and especially the U.S. market, with cheap exports as a model to grow. And those days are over because the cheap and easy credit that Americans have enjoyed over the last decade or so has dried up.
Well, the president mentioned some other sensitive issues in his speech yesterday. Let's take a listen.
We also strongly believe that the religion and culture of all peoples must be respected and protected, and that all people should be free to speak their minds. And that includes ethnic and religious minorities.
So the president got into some of the human rights territory. We know that the Chinese government has cracked down on the Uyghur Muslims minorities recently. Tibet remains an ongoing conflict. Will these discussions this week about trade and economic interests be tied to issues like these human rights?
Not tied. They seem to go on parallel tracks because the State Department is handling the political strategic issues and the Treasury Department is handling the economic issues. I don't see a lot of concrete. I do see only an exchange of rhetoric when it comes to things like human rights and religious freedom. I don't see China there yet in terms of being able to discuss it in a serious manner. They have those ethnic tensions you mentioned. Last year was the Tibetan unrest. This year is the ongoing Uyghur unrest in Xinjiang. Those issues are not something that China can turn around and deliver on in any kind of negotiation timetable.
But what about the big elephant in the room, and that's North Korea and China's potential leverage over North Korea?
Well, that remains a matter of great debate in China and here, just how much China can do to influence North Korea. North Korea is a prickly neighbor, a prickly customer at best. I do think that China is closer to being on the same page with the United States than it ever has been. The trick will be to keep them there because China is not thought to have the stomach for the toughest possible measures that it might take to get North Korea to seriously deal with the nuclear issue. And that's something that will be an ongoing concern. There are a lot of moving parts because North Korea itself has basically survived by maneuvering among the powers that that sponsors it over the years.
Well, certainly we'll be keeping a close eye on these talks this week. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. That was Paul Eckert, Reuters Asia correspondent. Over to you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.